We're turning again to Acts chapter 9. Over these past number of months now, we have been studying the book of Acts. And we have been in Acts chapter 9 for quite a number of weeks now. And we're coming to the end of this chapter. And I want to draw your attention to a man by the name of Aeneas. And we read about him from verses 32 to verse 35. So let's read this short passage of Scripture, Acts 9, verse 32, together. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the precious word of God to our hearts today. And we know, Lord, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we pray, Lord, that this story and this passage of scripture might profit our souls this day. We ask thee, Lord, that you would speak to every heart. And, O God, we pray today that everyone here would know thee as Savior and Lord of their lives. O God, we thank thee for salvation. And we thank thee for the joy of salvation. And yet, Lord, we are so conscious, Lord, that the old devil can rob us of the joy. He can't rob us of the salvation, but he can certainly rob us of the joy. And we pray, Lord, that each one here would not only know God's salvation in their lives, but that they would know the joy of God's salvation. And Lord, if there are those here who do not, we pray that you'll restore the joy of thy salvation to them again. We pray for those who know nothing of God's redemption, that even today they might come and receive Christ as their Savior. We thank thee for the love of God to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, O God, what a wonderful truth that is, redemption in Christ alone, through the blood of the Lamb. O God, bless us now, we pray thee. Fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, Peter enters into a village called Lydda, where many of the saints of God dwelt. No doubt he went down to Lydda in order to encourage the saints of God in the work of the Lord. However, it was while he was at Lydda that he came across a man who was sick of the palsy. Peter, in seeing this man, was moved with compassion towards him. And after he had commanded him to arise, the Bible tells us here, very simply, that a great miracle took place. And the man, whose name was Aeneas, was healed and gloriously set free from his disease. Now, this character, Aeneas, is certainly one of the lesser known characters in the Bible. Very little is said about him. Indeed, this is the only place in the entire Bible where he is mentioned. But in this story about Aeneas that we have recorded at the end of Acts chapter 9, we have a picture of the spiritual state of the sinner and the only remedy for the sinner's deliverance from sin. And very simply, at the end of our meeting today, I want to preach a very simple gospel message. And I pray as I do so that the Lord will take his word and write it upon all of our hearts, but especially if you're in the meeting today and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, I pray that you will listen very carefully because the message is for you. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, writes this message upon your heart and upon your soul. My friend, your greatest need today is to have your sins forgiven. And as we're going to find out in this message this afternoon, the only way whereby you and I can have our sins forgiven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's salvation in none other. There is redemption in none other. There's no other one who can forgive us for our sins but the one who died upon the cross and rose again in order to save men from their transgressions. Therefore, I pray that as we come to look at this story, that the Lord will personally and individually speak to your heart. You've come into God's house today. We're glad to see you. You're welcome. But I pray as you've come in that the Lord will take a dealing with your heart and with your soul. And that even this Lord's Day, that although you may have come in to God's house in your sin, on your way to a lost eternity, that as you leave God's house, that you might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved and on your way to heaven, because that wonderful transformation can take place in your life. You can know what it means to be born again. You can know what it means to have your sins forgiven. And my prayer is that even this Lord's Day, that you will experience conversion. Now, what do we learn here about this man? Well, first of all, I want you to note verse 33. And I want you to consider the misery that this man encountered. It says in verse 33, And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. The Bible tells us here very simply that this man Aeneas was sick of the palsy. Indeed, so bad was he that he could not get up out of bed. And to make matters worse, there was no cure for his disease. Palsy, of course, as you may know, was the disease that paralyzed part of the body or the whole of the body. It depraved the affected part of the body of power of movement, and it rendered the person helpless. Indeed, so helpless was this man that he could not walk nor do anything for himself. And as the years went on, he was getting worse and worse. This man was so sick that he was confined to his bed for 8 years. Now just think about that for a moment. Just think about if you could not get out of bed for 8 years. Look what it says in verse 33. Underline it. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. This man was in an awful condition. He was in an awful state. He was in an awful situation. You know, palsy in the Bible is a picture of sin in the life of man. The Bible describes the sinner as one who is without strength and one who is unable to save himself from the disease of sin. You see, the sinner is incurably sick and left in his sin will die eternally without mercy. And here we have a picture of each and every one of us. Indeed, it is a picture of all mankind. Now, I know today in this 21st century, no one likes to think about themselves as sinners. But the truth is this, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And in Romans 5 verse 8 it says, for when we were yet without strength, and that is referring to the sinner that is born into this world, you and I. In Jeremiah 17 verse 9 it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And in Isaiah 1 verse 6, it says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been clothed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And here we have the Bible's description of everyone that is born into this world. My friend, the truth is this. Until you see yourself as God sees you, until you see yourself as the Bible portrays you, then you will never find forgiveness and you will never prepare for heaven and for home. You see, the truth is that the moment we were conceived in our mother's womb, we were conceived in sin. The moment we were born into this world, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And of course, sin brings heartache. Sin brings sorrow. Sin brings misery. This man, as we have said, was in misery. And that is a picture of every person that has ever been born into this world. That's a picture of you and me. My friend, God wants you to see that picture today. He wants you to realize that from the sole of your feet to the crown of your head, that there's no goodness in you. That we're full of sin, full of iniquity, full of transgression. And that's what we have here. I wonder, have you ever stopped for a few moments and considered yourself as the sinner before God? Now, I know in this age in which we live, no one likes to be called a sinner. No one likes to be described as one who is full of iniquity and full of transgression. But the truth is this, that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. That text that I quoted, let me quote it again. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. We're altogether unprofitable. And that's how the Bible describes us, and that's how God sees us as he looks down from heaven. And I pray today as we're gathered in God's house and as you're here under the sound of the gospel, that the Lord will take his word and write it upon your heart and upon your soul. Don't rebel against the word of God. Don't rebel against the teaching of the scriptures. Here we can see the misery that sin brings into the life. And of course, sin will eventually bring man down to a lost eternity, because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And of course, the death spoken of there is eternal death in hell forever. What a solemn thought that is. My friend, I say that lovingly and tenderly to you this afternoon. Your sin, if it goes unrepentant, your sin, if it goes uncleansed, your sin, if it goes unforgiven, will eventually bring you down into a lost eternity. And the Bible says, in hell the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What a solemn thought that is, and what a solemn truth that is. There are men and women dying all around us every day. They're dying in their sin. And when you die in your sin, you go out into a lost eternity without God, without Christ, and without hope. No hope. But notice something else here. Take a look at verse 34, and you'll see not only the misery that this man encountered, but you will notice the message that this man heard. Look what it says in verse 34. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. What a wonderful message he heard that day. The message that Aeneas heard was a message that contained the only remedy that could heal him. God's servant Peter delivered the message, and it was a message about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. And this was the message of the apostles, and it was the only message of the apostles, and it was the message that sinners needed to hear. And it certainly was the message that Aeneas needed to hear. That day, as we have said, his body was racked with the disease of palsy. He had been bedridden for 8 years. He couldn't even get out of his bed. There was nothing the doctors could do for him or the physicians could do for him. He was in a hopeless state, a hopeless condition. And then he hears from the preacher about a man called Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. My friend, you're here in this meeting today. You're not saved and born again of the Spirit of God, and you're in your sin, and you're living in misery and sorrow, and you're heading fast to a lost eternity. Oh, I have good news for you. It's a simple message, but it is a glorious message. It's a simple message, but it is the only message that will do you good. The Lord Jesus Christ can make you whole. He can save your soul. He can forgive you for your sin. He can cleanse you from your iniquity. He can prepare you for heaven. Isn't that a wonderful message? That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's only one remedy for the disease of sin today, and that remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ. I have only one message for you as a gospel preacher, and that message is Christ and him crucified. The only message of hope for sinners today is Jesus Christ. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Paul said on another occasion, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. We read in Acts 15 verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And praise God, that message hasn't changed from the days of the apostles right up to this present time. The message of the gospel is still the same. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Turn over with me in your Bible just for a moment till you see this in Romans chapter 3. We emphasized there a moment ago, verse 23. Let me emphasize some more verses here in this tremendous chapter. Here we have Paul, and he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says in verse 22. Now think about your sin. Think about the misery of your sin. Think about where your sin is bringing you, down to hell. But think more importantly about Jesus Christ, who came to save you and me from our sins. Look what it says here. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Listen to it. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Notice how Paul here in this passage of Scripture uplifts Christ. He exalts Christ. And the reason why he does that is because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you from your sins. Mary can't save you from your sins. The church can't save you from your sins. My friend, it's Christ and Christ alone, the only hope of glory. Your good works today can't deliver you from your sins. The Bible points only to one. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ alone is the answer. It is faith in Christ that brings deliverance from the disease and defilement of sin. In Matthew 9 verse 6 we read that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Titus 3 verses 5 and 6 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Underline it. Acts 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why is Jesus Christ the only one who can save us from the disease of sin? Why is he the only one that can cleanse us from our iniquities? Because of who he is. He is the sinless, spotless Son of God. The Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Because of who Christ is. But not only because of his person and because of who he is, but because of what he has done. Jesus Christ is the only Savior because of his work upon the cross. He died upon the cross for our sins, and he rose again from the dead. 1 Peter 3 verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 it says, and verse 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Here we have the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save. Because of who he is. He's the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity. He knew no sin, and because of what he has done upon the cross, he has died and shed his blood for our sins in order to redeem us. Why is he the only Savior? Because of his promise. Because of the promise that he has made. Christ has promised eternal life to all that are saved by his grace. In other words, he has the power to save. My friend, I want you to see that today. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to save. Because he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." We read these tremendous words in John 11, verse 25. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This is the simple message of the gospel. Oh, the misery of sin. Sin will make you miserable and continue to make you more miserable. It'll bring you sorrow after sorrow after sorrow. And the more you sin, the more heartache will enter into your life. Until at the very last, it will bring you down into a lost eternity. But Jesus came to give life. And he came to give life more abundantly. And in order to save you and me from our sins, he came from heaven's glory. He came from his throne in heaven. And he came down into this world. And he died upon a cross. And he rose again. And praise God, he has promised eternal life to all those who trust in him and depend upon him alone for eternal redemption. Would you come to him today? Oh, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. That's the message. My friend, that's the same message today that we preach. And that will always be the message. Because there's only one who can deliver from sin. There's only one who can save from hell. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God. Is that any wonder the Lord said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He loves you today. He doesn't love your sin. He loves you, but as an individual, because he died to save you. He showed his love upon the cross. That's where we can see the depth of God's love to you and me. The depths of Christ's love to you and me. He loved us so much that he gave up his own life in order to pay the price of our sin. He became sin for us. He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. And he bore the burden to Calvary. And he suffered. And he died alone. That's the message. My friend, would you come today? Notice something else here. Take a look at the end of verse 34 of Acts 9. And you'll notice the miracle that this man experienced. It says this. Underline these words. And he arose immediately. Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. And he arose immediately. Aeneas was healed. It says, and he arose. His disease was completely cured. My friend, this is what Jesus Christ can do for you today spiritually. He can cure you from the plight of sin. He can forgive you for all your transgressions. Notice that Aeneas was healed instantaneously. It says immediately. Underline the word immediately. He did not have to wait for a period of time to pass before he could walk again. He did not have to wait for a week before he could get out of the bed. The Bible says he got out of the bed immediately. He walked immediately. Just think about it. For a moment, the man had been bedridden for 8 years. For 8 years, he couldn't put his foot to the ground. And then all of a sudden, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ does for him, he gets out of the bed, instantaneously healed. Oh, my friend, if you come to Christ today and trust him as your Savior, he'll save you instantaneously. Your sins, which are many, he'll forgive. You'll leave God's house today with all your sins forgiven, cleansed, and on your way to heaven. Sinner, come to the Savior and trust him. Salvation happens in a moment of time. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Notice verse 34. Aeneas was healed when he obeyed the message. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose. Men and women, the command of the gospel is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. This is the message of the gospel. And praise God, this is the miracle that can take place in your life today if you trust Christ as your Savior and cast your all upon him. We have been noticing in these studies in the book of Acts, and we'll see it in the next few chapters as well, how when men were saved, they were saved instantaneously, and a change came into their lives. They were transformed by the power of God. And I'll tell you this, friend, when someone is truly saved, their life will be changed. No one had to ask, well, is Aeneas changed? Everyone saw it. He didn't have to open his mouth. Because they knew that he had been in that bed, suffering the disease of palsy for 8 years. They knew that he was confined to the bed. But they see him walking now. Oh, they might have asked the question, well, how did it happen? But they didn't have to ask the question, has it happened? Oh, they knew that this man was transformed and changed because he was walking. I'll tell you, friend, if you're saved, you'll not have to say a word. People will know that your walk is different. That your walk is different. And if your walk is not different, there has not been a change in the life. There has not been conversion in the soul. A lot of people, you know, they make statements. but their statements don't correspond with their walk, you might as well keep your mouth shut because nobody's believing you. You might as well say nothing. If your walk is not changed, if your life is not changed, and no matter what you say, for you're only fooling yourself. But this man, his life was changed. When Aeneas was healed, his life was used for good. Did you notice that? Take a look at verse 35. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Zaron saw him. They saw him and they turned to the Lord. His life was changed and others could see the change in him. He began to walk, something he had never done for many years. My friend, what the Lord did for this man physically, he can do for you spiritually. Every conversion is a miracle. And there's no knowing how the Lord could use you in your life for good if you would only yield your life to him. Yield your life to him. You have only one life. It'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus will last. You remember the story of the demoniac of Gadara. Turn over to Mark chapter 9 just for a moment. And we'll close with this illustration. But I want to emphasize to you the change, that conversion. The change that conversion makes in the life of the sinner. Here we have a man, and he's under the control of the devil, under the control of sin, under the control of Satan. And he meets the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus changes his life completely. Look what it says in verse 19. Jesus suffered him not. He was wanting to go with the Lord, wanting to follow after Christ where Jesus was going, but Jesus suffered him not. And there was a reason for that. But Jesus said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Maybe initially he was a wee bit apprehensive about going home. He had been at home and he hadn't got on too well there. And his friends and even his family had cast him out into the tombs. Maybe he was a wee bit apprehensive. Maybe that's the reason, one of the reasons why he wanted to go with the Lord. Maybe the Lord knew this. The Lord says, no, you'll not come with me. But I'll tell you what you will do. You'll go home. You see, the Lord wanted his friends and his family to see the change that had taken place in his life. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee. Verse 20, look at it. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Now, were they just marveling because of what he said? I don't believe it. I don't believe it, not for one minute. They were marveling because they could see the transformation that had taken place in the man's life. His life was changed. No more had he to be held down with chains. No more was he cutting himself with stones. No more was he living the old life? They marveled. Not only at his words, but at his walk. Child of God, men and women, we say we're saved. How does the world know us? Do they know us by our talk? Or do they know us by our walk? It must be both. It must be both. Aeneas' life was changed forever. He got out of the bed and he started to walk. He didn't have to learn to walk again. He just got out of the bed and walked. And he made his bed for the first time in 8 years. Someone else didn't have to make his bed for him. Oh, the miracle of conversion. My friend, salvation begins within. In the heart. And if the heart's not changed, the outward appearance will not be changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. But it begins in the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart. May God touch your heart today. May he save your soul. He can do it, and he wants to do it, and he will do it. My friend, come and trust him today with your life and with your soul. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the simple message of the gospel. 'Tis old, yet ever new. And we thank thee, Lord, for the way that you can change the life. Oh God, change lives today in Bethel. I pray, Lord, that there will be those here and their walk will be changed because their heart is changed. That their lives will be transformed because they have met the resurrected Christ. Because he has touched them, saved them, and redeemed them. Oh God, I pray for those who are the servants of sin, that they might become the servants of Christ. Give the gift of true repentance. Give the gift of true faith. Give it today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a lovely hymn, 285. Wondrous love of Jesus spread the news around. Pardon freely offered, what a joyful sound. Jesus, loving Savior, died to set me free. Oh, that blessed whosoever, that means me. And when we come to the last verse, verse 4, if you're not remaining for the Lord's table, you are free to leave. 285.